Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Ed Molina. I'm a partner in crime as usual, Fuzzy Biscuits. Let's get into it. Man, there is a lot to digest. First, we didn't get a chance to do this earlier when it happened. You know, 2020 has been a shitty year. Lost a lot of people. Obviously, a lot of people have. We lost Eddie Van Halen, one of my favorite guitar players of all time. One of the reasons I'm into rock music. One of the reasons I'm into heavy metal music. Obviously, I went with Sammy Hagar. I'm kind of a Sammy guy, and I'm about to take shit for that. But I'm a fan of both. The only, you know, even Gary Cherone. People forget Gary Cherone was also a lead singer. But no, I'm a Sammy guy, so I went with a Sammy song. I feel like I'm about to eat shit as I pop open my cranberry cider. What's good, Fuzz?
Lord, that's all I got to say. So let me start off with this. So, you know, we were talking about this the other day offline, actually. So a lot of people don't know this. I mean, I think the people in Sweden and Iceland know this because they recognize the chemistry, right? Not all Americans are advanced enough to understand our chemistry and our past. Myself and my Honduran friend, Edwin, we actually go back more than a quarter century.
Yes.
So, you know, that being said, Ed is my man, right?
Yes.
But I can't co-sign everything Ed does. Great example, cranberry cider or cider of any kind. Yeah, so I can't. And another thing is, like, Sammy,
yeah.
What type of racist, anti-Semitic mess is this? One of the greatest leads of any metal band in history, David Lee Roth.
I don't disagree.
But because, and a fellow member of the tribe. But I digress. He's still Van Halen is, it's David Lee Roth. That's Van Hagar. Yeah, but let's make that straight. David Lee Roth, Jew, one of the best frontmen in the history of whether you want to say hair metal, heavy metal, whatever you, however you want to put it.
Metal, you
really
can say,
just
you
any
can say
band.
Hard rock.
You can say any band.
Really? No, yeah.
Of
yes,
any genre.
Rock music in general, in the history of rock.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Forget genre in the history of rock. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. But you know, we spent enough time on that.
I will say one thing about that. I don't hate Sammy, or it's not a hate thing. I love both iterations of Van Halen. What I will say is that Diamond Dave was the more fun. There's the more fun songs, whereas Sammy's a better songwriter. I think you're right 100%. I think showmanship wise, there's very few people that are as good as David Lee Roth. You know, Diamond Dave just has his presence about him, and you're right. I don't disagree with anything. But I think when it comes to Diamond Dave's the better showman, and Sammy Hagar's just a stronger songwriter. Diamond Dave can't write a song like "Why Can't This Be Love." He's gonna write "Hot for Teacher," and "Hot for Teacher" is awesome. You know what I mean?
Here's what I'll say about that. If you ask me, you know, whether you want to just call it like '80s metal, hair metal, whatever you want to do, to me, I think it would be hard to find a better album than 1984.
Okay.
I think it would be real hard.
Agree.
So you should have done Dave. But anyway,
I'm
used to Jews being disrespected. That's you know, you know we get tough skin as Jews because we're being disrespected like you disrespected us right now. Anyway, so moving on, we have like before we get into the show, we have something like it's real difficult, and we actually we're should we talk about it? Shouldn't we? So. You probably know Pat Patterson passed away. I believe it was yesterday, right?
That is correct, yes.
Right. So Pat Patterson, like when you talk about duality, I mean, there's Pat Patterson. I mean, so we need to preface this by saying that, you know, he has been accused of things in his past, horrible things, like absolutely inexcusable, horrible things. You know, I don't want to say, I don't even want to say this, but they, you know, he was cleared of charges, but that doesn't mean he didn't do it. So I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, that changes anything. No, all signs point toward he did some pedophilia. You know, and it's kind of like there was kind of a Sexgate type thing with WWE. I believe it was late 80s.
Yes, that is correct.
And everybody lost their job, including Pat Patterson. But Pat Patterson was like for real Vince's right hand man. So Vince did what he did to make people forget about it, and he was the only one that was hired back from, you know, we'll call it Sexgate, whatever.
Right.
So
Ringboy Gate.
It looks like he did do it. I'm not gonna say he did, you know, but I'm also not gonna be like, but he was cleared of charges. You know, I believe there's over a dozen wrestlers who have claimed to walk in on him with ring boys.
Yes.
And then it also became like a joking thing. I joked about it with you when I texted you, you know, when I said, you know, who's going to sexually harass the male talent now? And I mean, that supposedly happened all the time with the grown guys, which, you know, that's different than kids. You know, that's completely inexcusable. But anyway, so we do have to point out
Pat Patterson's life. Let's just say we're not condoning sexually harassing at work, period, also with adults.
No, of course not. Of course not.
Just for the record.
Of course not. But, I mean, okay, if people don't know, I mean, I know you think that because we're such a huge and popular podcast that this is probably my full-time job, but it's not. I actually have two other jobs other than this. And one of them, I'm a teacher. You know, and have kids, and I just, you know, I'm not going to go into how I feel about it, but I feel very strongly about it, and I feel it's completely inexcusable, and you're complete trash, no matter what else you did. So that being said, let's talk about Pat Patterson, his life and his accomplishments, strictly dealing with his career in professional wrestling, right?
Yes.
You know, again, he is a huge figure in WWE and WWE success, okay? But we have to point out that he did have other issues that are inexcusable. So that being
modern
said,
modern day wrestling doesn't happen without Pat Patterson. I feel like
no, I don't think so either. And I mean, you look at it. So for one, Pat Patterson was the first Intercontinental Champion in WWE or WWF back then. He went through from Montreal, grew up very poor. At 14, started training, left Canada, hit the West Coast, a lot of indies over there. I guess we'll say major was AWA.
Yep.
Which I believe was at Vern Gagne's.
That's Vern Gagne's, Minnesota, territory.
Yeah, so AWA was the first one that he hit, you know, to get the exposure. He actually, I don't know if you know this, he actually was in New Japan for, I believe, 2 years.
Did not know
that.
After AWA.
Okay. Yes, he was in New Japan for, I believe, like 2-3 years after AWA, you know, and then we get to, like, WWE, and we talk about, you know, he was North American champion. He really soon after he won, he had a North American champion run, and then he was the first Intercontinental champion. On top of that, I mean, you know, great wrestler and everything, but I feel like his legacy is more of what he built behind the scenes. Like I said, Vince McMahon's right-hand man, huge part of creative, and, I mean, ridiculously respected. I mean, there's a lot of wrestlers that said without support of Pat Patterson, they would be nobody. One of them is your boy, if we're talking about Sammy Hagar, the guy you like to dress like, another Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn has come out and said, you know, there would be no Sami Zayn without Pat Patterson because when Pat Patterson was, you know, pushing him in NXT, he just, you know, he was like, "That's I couldn't have done it without Pat Patterson." He's far from the only wrestler to say that. The Royal Rumble match was his idea. He came up with that.
That's correct.
And then also a fact that I don't know if you remember. Pat Patterson is the oldest person to ever hold a belt in WWE, WWF, either one. Do you know what it was?
I want to say the 24/7 title.
You should want to say that because that's right. I believe it was two years ago.
I may have to call shenanigans on that because didn't Mae Young hold the Divas title at one point?
Yeah, but he was 77. And I think
Mae
Young
was almost
a
century. Okay. All right.
I don't know.
I used to love.
Okay,
I used
just
to
be safe.
But anyway,
just to be safe, we'll say oldest male wrestler.
Fair enough.
He was 77 or 78. He won the 24/7 belt. Guess who he won it from?
I want to say R-Truth.
Of course, because it's always R-Truth. it's either you take it from R-Truth or you lose to R-Truth. There's no other combination in the history of that belt. Yeah, so, you know, like I said, we kind of had a discussion. Should we talk about Pat Patterson or whatever? You know, I feel like we are doing a good job of showing both sides and being very neutral and just pointing out how instrumental he was in the success of the, you know, WWE. So that's all I have, you know, unless you want to add something else.
I will say it like this. It's kind of like it's complicated with Hulk Hogan. You can't talk about the history of wrestling without Hulk Hogan. I think it's kind of like along the ways of Afrika Bambaataa. He's been accused of some very horrible things. And you can't talk
the
about
same
you can't
thing.
Cancel Bambaataa.
The same
he
thing
is
as
the
Bat
foundation
Knight.
Of hip-hop. Yeah, Bam is the foundation of not only hip-hop, but of electronic dance music, EDM, which is very popular in Europe and even here. You know, it's complicated. And it's nuanced, and I think you have to present both sides, which is why I was very, should we, shouldn't we? And I hope we did. I mean, we're kind of rushing it because it's kind of a lot happened yesterday with wrestling, but I hope we did it justice where it's we're not condoning, whether it's true or not, we're not condoning either the sexual harassment that he's accused of, and we're not accusing the pedophilia he's accused of. But it's hard to talk about modern-day wrestling without talking about Pat Patterson. And while it was very – we did kind of a brief overview as we get into the events of yesterday, which I think are industry-shaking. We'll get to that in a second. But, I hope we did a good enough job that, look, we're not trying to put this man on a pedestal, but we also have to acknowledge his place in wrestling history. It's complicated like that, you know, it's like that Facebook, it's complicated, you know, status. So I hope we did a good enough job and I hope we didn't quote unquote offend anybody. But you know, those are the facts. That is what is out there. And I think it needed to be said, both sides. I really do. I don't think, you know, it's like talking about Michael Jackson when I'm talking about the accusations. It just is what it is. You know,
yeah,
I
mean, and
it's true.
And
yeah,
the thing
ahead.
Is, there are people out there, and I just want to say this. There are people out there who do, you know, in sports and entertainment. Look at Ben Roethlisberger, similar, right? Obviously, he's a rapist,
yeah.
but it was, you know, the charges were dropped
alleged,
or, you
alleged.
Know, whatever it was. But obviously, he's a rapist, and people don't want to, you know, talk about that. You know, Joe Paterno is another good one in sports. He allowed pedophilia
yeah.
to happen. He just said, don't do it here. But people don't want to talk about that.
Right.
No, that's proven. That he said
no.
don't bring the kids from your charity on campus. Which
that's fair. No,
you know
right.
what
no,
we
right.
know what that what's behind that. So that's to me
you're right.
that's him allowing pedophilia and doing nothing about it. Just saying don't do it
yeah.
here. And
yeah, I'm not,
and there are people who excuse these types of things, and I just want to make it like solid, like rock solid, clear. That we are not those people. That I don't care how many accolades, accomplishments, championships, whatever it is, gold records, platinum records, I really don't care. If you have ever done something like this to a child or like raped somebody or something like that, that's going to come up. I will never forgive that, and I will never not acknowledge that side of anybody, no matter how big they are. And, I mean, we've talked about Michael Jackson, one of the biggest in music. Joe Paterno, one of the biggest coaches in college basketball. I think he has the most wins in college football. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
I want everybody to know at the Ed and Fuzz show, we are not ever acting like, oh, well, their accomplishments overshadow
right.
things like that. No way at all. No.
Nope. So let's move on to more positive things, I guess. What a time to be a wrestling fan. Now, I will preface this with, I'm sorry, NXT. We were going to review your show because it's the go-home show for the War Games. We were going to do a preview of the War Games. But I hate to say this, AEW fucking stole the oxygen out of the room. And NXT had a solid show. I know you haven't seen it yet.
I'm watching
but we'll
it
get
now,
back
actually.
To yeah, so we will do a review of War Games. And I apologize for shortchanging NXT, and but right now it's such a great era to be a wrestling fan because that swerve last night. And no, I don't mean Sting.
Can I talk about it actually? Because I feel like I have a really good intro. Because I feel like our text conversation, or we might have been on the phone, is like a really good intro to this.
Yes, go ahead.
All right. So anyway, I was watching AEW as Ed was burning eggs in the kitchen. So he watched it on delay, cooking burnt eggs. And so I was ahead of him. And Ed had said, you know, oh, I think Kenta's going to come out, you know, blah, blah, valid reasons why he thinks that. And I was wishing it happened. Unfortunately, it didn't. But so we talked about that, and then I'm watching it, and I'm just like, okay. I was like, there's a swerve right now. It's not Kenta. I'm not going to ruin it. And then I was like, it's pretty big. And if you recall, it was like, it was so big that it didn't even hit me right away how big it was. Because if you remember, I was like, it's pretty big. And then I was like,
oh, you
actually,
wanted to tell
it's, me
so
it's
bad
more than pretty
too.
Big. And it's one of those things that's so big that you don't even realize how big it is right away. It took me a good like 30 seconds to be like, wow, this is actually huge. I wish you were watching at the same time. Make sure you text me when this happens. And like,
which I did.
But at first, it was so big that I was just like, whoa. And I got to give a salute to AEW because I heard zero rumblings about Sting returning to the ring in any capacity, in any promotion. And,
yeah.
You know, stuff leaks in wrestling.
Yeah.
Almost
like
everything does. So I salute them for keeping that under wraps. And it was just one of those things that you're just like, oh, that's big. And then you're like, wait a second. Hold on. Sting? Yeah. Oh, wait, this is like, and it was, to me, that like epitomizes what this is. Because it takes a little while to set in how big this is.
But they topped themselves. That's the funny part. What happened at the end of the show topped the Sting thing. Now, I will say about the Sting thing, I'm not as high as everyone.
It depends. It depends on your viewpoint with that one. I hear you. You know, I definitely hear you. I wouldn't argue with that, but I would also hear arguments of the other side because it depends on how you look at it because it is Sting.
I my problem with the Sting thing is just as The Undertaker is retiring, and we didn't talk about this in our Survivor Series review, and that's partially my fault because we just ran out of time. I did some snafus on the production side. That's on me. But just you and I are not the biggest Undertaker fans. I respect his legacy maybe a little bit more than you do. But let's be honest. I felt he should have retired after Brock Lesnar beat his record, in my opinion. But just as we're getting rid of – not rid. That's not a fair thing to say. Just as one icon is retiring, I don't know if I want to see a 61-year-old Sting in the ring. I got to be honest.
Here's the thing.
This isn't any,
but here's the thing.
This isn't any different than Taker.
Here's the thing. First off, I'd like to say, you probably do respect his legacy more, but I have great respect for Undertaker's legacy. I just haven't enjoyed watching him in-ring for like the past 10 years.
Fair enough.
But I definitely respect his legacy. I don't have to like somebody to have the utmost respect. But, I mean, here's the thing that we have to remember. We don't know if he's going to wrestle.
That's a good point.
And I think even if he doesn't wrestle, what this is okay, AEW is Jericho, right?
I would
Jericho,
say that.
Jericho's huge, right? Jericho, that was a big person. He was probably the centerpiece of AEW, right? Coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's not Sting. You know, they haven't had the Hall of Fame legend. You know what I mean? Not taking anything away from Jericho. The only difference, I think, is that Sting precedes Jericho and has more years than him. I think Sting on a mainstream level has been bigger. I don't want to act like I'm, you know, comparing him and Jericho. But I think they are in different categories because of their type of fan base and the experience. But I feel like even if he doesn't wrestle, this is huge for AEW because this is their first, like, legend, like mainstream legend.
I don't disagree. And listen, to preface it, I go back with Sting to Beach Blonde. We both do Beach Blonde.
The fluorescent Sting was way better than this Crow Sting.
I was just about to say that it's like Sammy Hagar and Diamond Dave, which Beach Blonde Sting being Diamond Dave and Crow Sting being Sammy Hagar. Both are cool. Both had their good runs. In this case, I'm a Beach Blonde Sting guy because he put on some classics with Ric Flair. He put on some classics with Terry Funk. He put on classics. The reason I'm a New Japan fan and the reason I stand for New Japan, my introduction to New Japan was his rivalry with the great Muta. I love Kenny Muta. I love, like, that's the reason why I become so fascinated over the years with Japanese wrestling. And part that doesn't happen unless he has this magnificent feud with Sting. Sting was special.
Sting was. Do you realize what, do you remember what promotion Beach Blonde Sting started with?
I want to say UWF, something like that?
It was NWA.
I know he was the Blade Runners with the Ultimate Warrior. He was the Blade Runners with the Ultimate Warrior. I want to say like UWF or something like that.
It was NWA that he turned fluorescent.
Yes. Okay.
He painted. He was painted with Ultimate Warrior, but he didn't turn the fluorescent, you know, he might have been blonde, but he was, you know, the big fluorescent flashy.
Right.
That was NWA. And a lot of people don't realize that Sting was around way back in those NWA days.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, there's very few wrestlers that are still in the business that have been around as long as him.
And that was a big swerve. And that was like at the halfway point. That was before the main event when we got that. But to me, that main event, that swerve. First of all, I absolutely did enjoy Omega versus Mox. I thought that was a pay-per-view caliber main event on free TV. And that swerve, like I suspected that maybe a Bullet Club president, since he was coming out with the cleaner thing back again, you know, with the cleaner shtick back again, the gimmick. I thought the possibility of Kenta being out, coming out in some capacity was out there because Kenta is guaranteed a U.S. title shot against Jon Moxley, who is the IWGP U.S. champion. So, you know, I figured they were going to try to set up Mox going to Japan for Wrestle Kingdom because he has a title fence at Wrestle Kingdom, supposedly. I don't know how that's going to work out. But I think this is all tied together because the swerve we got is that Don Callis, who used to be commentator for New Japan, a job that Kenny Omega got him when Kenny Omega was in New Japan, the swerve of interfering in the match and then running away, and when he said, as soon as he said, we'll explain it on Tuesday, friend of the show Bonnie blurts out, she's like, oh, they're gonna explain it on AEW, the
Dark.
YouTube show, AEW Dark.
That's what I thought,
and
too.
And I said, oh, no, they're not. This is going to be on Impact. And then he goes, we'll see you at Impact. And I marked the fuck. AEW teaming up with Impact is huge. Huge. I think that was a bigger swerve than the Sting thing. And what's funny is I watched this week's episode of Impact. You know, we talked about it last week, how we've been, you know, Impact has been, since WWE cut their talent, I've been on this kind of streak of watching Impact for the most part. I think I watch it every other week, but I watch it. I'm keeping an eye on it. I got pay-per-views, you know what I mean? I bought Impact pay-per-views this year. And I can't think of a time that Impact has made an impact pun intended, since maybe Hulk Hogan joined up with him, which again goes to what you were talking about Sting, how sometimes having an icon like that on the roster just legitimizes you. And I feel like, much like Impact tried that with Hulk Hogan, they had Sting, though. That's how Impact was legitimized, was with Sting. Let's not forget that. He's one of Impact's greatest champions. And so I was watching Impact, and they dropped hints. Carl Anderson dropped a hint because he's going to have a one-on-one match in the last pay-per-view of Impact against Ethan Page, who I love Ethan Page. I'm a huge fan of the North. We talked about this at Mark Out. I'm a big Ethan Page stan. And he said in a promo, you know, because they took out Doc Gallows. Doc Gallows is hurt. And he goes, I got friends too. It's the way he said it. We know who Carl Anderson's friends are. We know he's still Bullet Club. And so
yeah,
they dropped a hint there. And then, so you know how Impact does a classic match of the night? Like they'll show an old classic match. They'll show a clip of an old classic match. Yo, they showed Motor City Machine Guns versus Generation Next, who we know as the Young Bucks. Another hint dropped.
Former Bullet Club members too.
Yeah. Yes. Good point. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. And so
with Kenny, running it.
Yes. Absolutely. And not even they. AJ, when Finn Balor / Prince Devitt expanded, one of the first people they took in was the Young Bucks. They were the junior heavyweight tag team champions, as the Guerrillas of Destiny were the heavyweight tag team champions. And so, like, when they were teasing that on Impact, I was like, oh, maybe we're going to see Tama Tonga. Maybe we're going to see Jay White. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't – and now – maybe we're going to see Kenny and Omega with Carl. And it's just, this partnership is so money for both. Impact has had a great year in 2020. And it's WWE's fault that they've had a great year, dropping all that talent. It you know, for Slammiversary, we watched to see who's going to pop up. Remember that? It was like, who's going to pop up, you know? And we're doing it again, going into the, I think Turning Point is the name of the last point or the last paper. I gotta double check. I think next week is the go home show, but you know, once again, we're gonna watch this paper like, who's gonna pop up? Impact has had such a great year because of that, and I think what a way to finish off the year, teaming up with All Elite Wrestling, because there is so much. Do you know how much this partnership helps Sheeta and the entire women's division? Like, I'm already thinking about Jordynne Grace versus Nyla Rose. Holy shit, what a matchup. What about the North versus FTR? I've been saying the North is the best tag team nobody knows about. And here we are. They're already talking shit to each other on Twitter. And then where do you go with this? The possibilities are so endless. And like, if you live in a WWE bubble, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to you, that if you're just a WWE Universe person, if that's the bubble, man, you're missing out, because this partnership is what's best for business, for AEW, in trying to catch the biggest dog in the yard, which is WWE. NXT had a very solid show. I really enjoyed the show, but it felt like, because I watched AEW first. You ever been to a comedy show or a concert where the opening act steals a show away from the main event or from the main, you know, from the headliner? That's what that felt like. Like, as good as NXT was, and it was a great, solid show leading into War Games, probably one of my favorite type of specialty matches on the planet. I love War Games. All I can think about is like, man. All I could think about were the possibility matchups that are out there. You know what I mean? Chris Bay versus Alan Darby, you know, Darby Allin. You know, Eric Young versus, I don't know, pick somebody. You know, Eric Young versus Miro. Miro. It was, again, and the thing is, as we're talking about this,
Moose against Miro.
Yeah, you know,
I don't like Moose, but I'd like to see Miro punish him.
So would I.
And Miro needs a push. Let's face it.
Yeah, he does. I'm okay with how they're using him for now. But I think he will need a push down the road. Jesus, what about Ace Austin versus fucking MJF?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many. I think who benefits the most from this, I think, is the women's division in AEW, because now Britt Baker and Sheeta and Thunder Rosa have more pieces to play with. I think
and Nyla Rose
is Nyla Rose. I think Sue Young is a great talent. Deonna Purrazzo is a great talent. I hope I didn't mispronounce her name. She's growing on me so much. You know, Jordynne Grace, I kind of do have a crush on Jordynne Grace. I love her. I love her body of work. I'm trying to think. Oh, Taya, we haven't even mentioned Taya Valkyrie. You know what I mean? Like, she might be pound for pound the best, you know, women's wrestler in that division. To see, this is the kind of boost that Sheeta needed, to be going up against that kind of talent. Sheeta versus Taya Valkyrie, that's a money match. I think that you're only as good as your dance partner sometimes. That's a great dance partner for Sheeta. Sheeta versus Sue Young. Sheeta versus Purrazzo. There's so many different matchups out there. I think that's who stands to benefit the most. But again, that and the fans. I think that if you live in that WWE bubble, you're missing out. And part of the reason, a lot of this WWE did to itself. In a lot of ways, it became bloated, collecting all this talent, and then releasing this talent, and then it became a, well, where's so and so going to go? Where's so and so going? You know what I mean? Like, so I'm very, to me, that was the bigger swerve than Sting. Though stepping back in hindsight, you're right. You know, because Sting legitimized Impact. You know. Because Impact started with your AJ Styles, your Samoa Joes, you know what I mean? They took Ring of Honor's talent, and then once they put Sting, it kind of helped legitimize it. Hogan kind of gave the mainstream appeal for a little while. They moved to Monday nights, and that's where they fucked up, moving to Monday nights when they tried to go head-to-head with WWE, big mistake. But, I think I've pontificated on this enough to – I want to hear your take, and I want to hear what your dream matchups or potential dream matchups are in this AEW Impact Invasion type of thing going on.
Let me start with this, because I spoke earlier about there being two schools of how you view this Sting thing, right, and how – there's mainstream, and then there's more like the hardcore old school fans, like where I'd say we fall into. I think it really depends as far as, like, again, which swerve is bigger, because there are probably a large percentage of people who watch AEW that don't even know what Impact is. So, I mean, I think on our side, yes, this is the part of it is huge that, you know, this whole world opening up possibly. Right. But, you know, there's a lot of people that they don't know, like most of the wrestlers we just mentioned. And, you know,
I kind of disagree with that.
There's still a huge mainstream, you know, just WWE faction out there that is
sure.
Not going away anytime
sure.
soon. So I think we would say, yes, that's the biggest part of it. You know, but there's other people who they're like, who are you talking about? But so here's the thing. So I remember I told you I need to remember to record Impact, you know, to see what happens
yeah.
with, you know, Omega and everything. I actually just said it, and I just went ahead and set the series because, like, I watch Impact sporadically.
Yes.
I haven't watched Impact, like, regularly since it was TNA, and they had the – what was it, a hexagon ring or whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm a big beer money guy. That's
yeah.
where I originally got my hate for Samoa Joe. You know,
yes.
I'm a huge angle guy.
Yes.
You know, so I have a history with Impact, but I've been very sporadic lately. And now I'm probably going to watch every week now. Like, I don't already have enough wrestling that I have to catch up with all the time. but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard. I would, you know, I think Eric Young, you mentioned, but I think, you know, who he was just beefing with, I'd like to see him against some AEW talent. Sure. I'm just trying to think who. Swan.
Oh, Rich Swan, who's the current Impact
Yeah.
champion.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think who he
I'd
would
like
match
see,
up
think,
really well against. Like a Scorpio Sky.
Yeah.
Like a Rich Swan Scorpio Sky match could be incredible.
I agree.
Like I said, I think Moose Miro, or even like Moose Wardlow, or Moose Luchasaurus, just somebody that's also big that could just whip his ass. You know, I mean, it's you know, and Jungle Boy could put on incredible matches with certain Impact talent.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot out there, man. There's a lot.
Listen. You want to talk about young talent? I'll tell you who I want to see Jungle Boy against. I want to see him against Ace Austin. They're about the same
age.
Yeah. You know?
And
what
Ace
about,
Austin
what
is
about,
special, too.
Yeah. What about Motor City Machine Guns versus, say, Private Party?
Yeah, or even Young Bucks.
Yes.
Or
and
FTR.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot. That's the thing. I mean, there's so much out there. If this is going to be a partnership like that, then this is for people who just like to watch wrestling, regardless of what the promotion is. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still waiting for New Japan to come back over everything, though. I wish they would get a TV deal or a partnership with somebody like that.
I'm hoping this is going to open a door with a partnership between AEW and New Japan. There's a lot, you know, between Jericho and Moxley. You know, going out there to Japan to ply their trade. I don't know if Moxley's going to be out there for Wrestle Kingdom. I hope so. I'd love to see Mox versus Kenta, you know? But I'm hoping that these type of partnerships, and that's the thing that's cool about it. I think the way to differentiate yourself from WWE is that you do these partnerships, even if they're temporary. You see these type of partnerships all the time in the indies. For example, I remember Ring of Honor had a beef with Combat Zone Wrestling. Oh, Sami Callihan versus Mox. How about Combat Zone Wrestling throwback names right there?
Yeah.
And so you see these kind of partnerships in the indies, and that's what I love about AEW. Is that it has a indie vibe with a big budget, with a billionaire budget, you know, a billionaire's budget. And this is the type of stuff that you see in the indies that, you know, it creates dream matchups. You know what I mean? Like, I'm already thinking about, you know, Doc and Carl against FTR, which I felt we got robbed of that in WWE. We get to see them potentially headline. You know, FTR,
yeah.
The Revival, whatever you want to call them, against the Good Brothers or against the North. It's the North, though, that I'm looking forward to, the North against FTR. I'm like giddy, like a kid on Christmas Day, like just like ready to open a gift. And it's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan right now. It really is. It's weird. 2020 has panned out to be a very weird year in wrestling where – we've had to see these companies adjust to the world around them. You know what I mean? And, you know, teaming up with Impact, whether it's temporary or permanent, who knows? But, I mean, this is exciting for the business. I'm so psyched about the possibilities. And like I said, if anyone benefits from this, because you've been talking about Sheeta is not as good as X, Y, and Z. Sheeta is not as good as Io. Sheeta is not as good as Bailey. Sheeta is not as good as Sasha. And maybe you're right. Maybe you're absolutely correct. But now we get to see Shida against a better level of competition because the TNA, the Impact Knockouts division, is much more loaded than what you have in AEW. And it's not just Shida who benefits. I think Britt Baker is a star in the making. And, yo, you know, Mandible Claw, you know, Sue Young's Mandible Claw versus Dr. Britt's, what does she call her Mandible Claw? I forgot what she calls it. But she adds, you know, she does it different because it's like a Ring of Saturn and then the Mandible Claw. Like, I forgot what she called it, what the name of her finisher is. But
it's some type of dental procedure. I forget
reference.
Which one, though.
Yeah. Thunder Rosa, you know, Thunder Rosa has potentially some great matchups. Taya Valkyrie's Twitter account is La Huera. Because she wrestles a lot in Mexico. And if anybody matches up great. Damn, is this already kicking in, the cider? If anybody matches up great against Thunder Rosa, if anyone matches up great against Thunder Rosa, it's La Huera. You know, it's La Huera, Taya Valkyrie. You know, I just think this is a great time to be a fan of wrestling right now. And I don't understand, again, I don't understand. That's not fair to say. If you're a WWE mark, that's all you watch, I mean, that's great. I'm not trying to diss, but, man, you're missing out. I agree with you. I think the one minus in the business right now is we need New Japan to get some sort of U.S. deal. Somewhere, somehow. I don't know where. There's a lot of cool shit happening right now in New Japan. A lot of cool shit happening. And they had a great buzz and great spark going into, like, the beginning of the year last year. Start, you know, as not even at the beginning of the year. They had, you know, listen, I have Jericho versus Tanahashi as one of my potential match of the years for the Fuzzies in a couple of weeks because it's almost time. We got to start making a decision when we're going to close the, you know what I mean?
Right, but I've missed, like, almost every New Japan match. I feel like I'm at a disadvantage.
I agree.
You're gonna have to send me, if you're on YouTube, you're gonna have to send me, like, you
I'll
know,
send
me some
a few recommendations. I'll
yeah,
send you a few recommendations
yeah.
for potential.
The ones that you're thinking about are the best.
Yeah, because I think I have Mox and Minoru Suzuki in my.
Don't send me that.
But, you know, I thought him and Lance Archer had a great match at Wrestle Kingdom. You know, I thought, what was it? Oh, fuck. Kenta had some great matches throughout the year, especially in the G1. You know, there were some solid matches in the G1, especially when it came to, Okada got a new finisher now.
Yeah, you said.
The money clip, which is kind of a modified Cobra Clutch, which I'm a huge fan of the Cobra Clutch, you know? So he's beefing with Will Ospreay right now. Oh, and so Ospreay got a new faction, and I guess we'll finish up with this. Will Ospreay got a faction called the Empire now. There's this big Asian dude, and I don't know his name. Khan, they call him. He's tall. He kind of reminds me of the Great Khali. I kind of don't like that. But Jeff Cobb joined the Empire. He's not down with Will Ospreay. So,
oh, wow.
You know, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is Jeff Cobb just in Japan now? He's not doing Impact?
No, he's in Japan right now. He's back and forth between the LA Dojo, Super J Cup. Oh, I'll send you that. The Super J Cup is this week, actually, and that's out of the LA Dojo because they've done shows out of the LA Dojo where they're putting together shows with Ring of Honor. You know, Flip Gordon's having a great year. I love Flip Gordon. I think he's so underrated. The whole Marty Scurll thing fucked up Ring of Honor though. But we'll get, you know, he was part of that, caught up in that whole Me Too movement. He's an asshole. There's no way.
Yeah, Ring of Honor. I don't know why I said Impact for Jeff Cobb. Ring of Honor.
No, he's not doing Ring of Honor at all. No, he's with
New Japan
exclusively.
Just
New Japan. Now.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, we're actually out of time. We're gonna do this. Again, next week we will not shortchange NXT. We will review War Games. That's a lot of good shit going on with that. We'll do it again next week. it's just such an exciting time in wrestling. I was just marked out yesterday, so like, woo! I was a kid yesterday. Anyway, we'll do it again next week. Peace.
Late.